Test 1, 2, 3. Okay, man, here we are. Welcome to our pre-show for today. Excuse me while I button my shirt. This is Thursday. And tomorrow I'm flying out to Atlanta. We'll have a new show. This is an encore show today, Thursday. And then tomorrow I'm flying out to Atlanta. I'm looking forward to seeing the old town and talking to Terry and the guys there at Adult Swim. And then turning around and coming home midday Tuesday. You know, I'll be back for a new show, I think, Tuesday night. Just a whirlwind couple of weeks here. All of a sudden, just all this work started to happen. And then it just goes, and then it goes, and then it goes, you know, because that's how it is. I made some coffee. This coffee, you know what I do? Is it green? It is green, because it's like almost, it's invisible label time. There it is. What is that? Is that a Starbucks cup I got? I don't know how I got that, but I use these Keurig pods. I have French roast and a bunch of shit. Then I have hot chocolate. Call me wussy, call me weirdo, call me a wimp, but I do half and half, and it's great. I guess it replaces the sugar and cream that I'd ordinarily put in the coffee. I don't know. Then I got a big box of these ice cream flavored coffees, and I mixed those in with the hot chocolate, and that was like a whole other world of fantastic. I'm turning into, you know, wimp boy when it comes to coffee. Ask me if I give a shit. The answer is no. Hey, I'm reaching that age in my life where I don't give a flying fuck, you know. So they had like banana split flavor. I'm not kidding you, man. Now, you can't drink the shit on its own because it's bitter. You got to have sugar or something to sweeten it. And that's perfect. So I take this banana split coffee and I drop a hot chocolate thing on top of that. God damn, is it good. And the name of this company is, God damn it, Variety Flavors. I have never seen it before. This big box of these that it was given to me as a gift. And I'm looking at it, and I kept it in a box in the kitchen for forever. I never even, to me, it looked like nothing I'd be interested in. And then I went one day I was out of coffee, literally. And I said, well, this is coffee. It's kind of flavored coffee. And I threw it in with these hot chocolate pods that I had, or whatever they're called. And wow, it was like a whole new thing, a whole new adventure in wild, you know. It was a whole new adventure in wild. Wild, baby. So I was very happy with the sound of the phone on Wednesday's show with Emery Clayton and with Steve Bozell. Very happy. That's where we're getting there, man. We're getting there.
Ah, la la la. Ah, la 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 la. I don't know why I love you, but I do. I don't know why. Wait a minute. I don't know why I love you, but I do.
That's a song from when I was a baby, I think. The first rock and roll record I remember hearing on the radio. I can't tell you what the first rock and roll record was that I ever heard, but on the radio, believe it or not, I distinctly remember I was sitting with my dad. We were in Betsy, which was our 36 Lincoln. My father came home one day with his 36 Lincoln. I remember hearing my mother. I was 4 years old, but I distinctly remember, oh my God, you know, 1936 Lincoln, a sedan. I think it was three on the tree, maybe four on the tree, I don't know. But sitting there next to my pops, going to the store, listening to Hound Dog by Elvis Presley. This was, you know, 56, 57. And the only rock and roll station on in L.A. at that time, and they just started, Top 40 Radio had just begun nationally. And what they meant by that was we take the top 40 single sales over the week. And it was anything. You know, it was everything from whatever the fuck, So Rare by the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra to, you know, Hound Dog by Elvis to The Platters, you know, all kinds of shit. But it proved extremely popular. And Gordon McClendon put this on the air at KFWB in Los Angeles. Chuck Bloor, well, I may be getting the names wrong, but it took off across the country, also New York, you know, at WMCA. B. Mitchell Reed was a disc jockey at MCA, came to L.A., went to work at KFWB, the BEMA, BMR, you know, and that was our rock station until KRLA hit the air in 59-60, and they were out of the Huntington Sheraton Hotel in Pasadena, and that was like that became the thing. Those two stations were going at it, and I listened to KRLA, my sisters listened to KRLA, my brother listened to KFWB, because my brother was such an old-school greaser, you know, he was listening. You know, the processed pompadour with the waterfall effect curl coming down and, you know, he had the jacket that said strangers with the guy with the hood and an axe, you know, and like these car clubs and shit, and KFWB. And then the explosion happened, and it was the end of my seventh grade year. My friend Mike Keyes says to me, my brother was talking about a radio station that just came on. It's fantastic. And that was KHJ. That was Boss Radio. That was the first more music station. In other words, the disc jockeys, if you listen to KFWB, less so KRLA, but still the jocks, blah, 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 blah. Hey, we'll be out there. And I'll tell you something. I'm talking to Tony Brown. We're going to be seeing you this weekend at the Think of the Day. And they're talking about that. Here's a hit record here, number one on the thing. Last week it was number three on the thing. And they're long extended talk breaks. And Bill Drake hit on the idea of just bam, bam, quick hits, disc jockey time, temperature, a little bit of personality, especially in morning drive and afternoon drive. But plays more music, man. That was at KHJ. And Boss Radio hit the air in L.A. in 65. And they're famous for the 90-day turnaround. KHJ before that was, I don't know, can't even tell you what it was. I don't think anybody could tell you what it was. Just a typical middle-of-the-road piece of shit station. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Man, they had a 90-day turnaround. They went to number one in L.A. in three Arbitrends, or whatever the fuck they were doing those days. In one book, 3 months, number one. And I'm telling you, these guys had 50 shares. And the Boss Radio was born. But like I said, the two main personalities were Robert W. Morgan in the morning and a guy that I mentioned to, I guess was when Bubba and I were talking. I said, the real Don Steele, if I was going to be a top 40 disc jockey, that was a cat that I would have loved to have patterned myself after, because he was so fast, funny, great timing, great drops. He had these crazy ass fucking drops. And was rock and roll. It was a rock and roll disc jockey all the way, real Don Steele. So he was great. And Morgan in the morning was a great mixture of just sort of self-effacement and, you know, hip and all that shit. So KHJ effectively ended KFWB. There was only room in L.A. for two top 40 radio stations, not three. And KFWB became an all-news outlet in 1968. And it left KRLA, and KRLA was increasingly pushed to the right. So KHJ, and if you go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and there's a lot of KHJ in that movie because a lot of people listen to KHJ, but the really, really hip kids, which is what I considered myself to be, had moved away from AM radio by that point. And we were either listening, we moved away from traditional AM radio. We were listening to like KRLA on Sunday nights, which had Firesign Theater, Radio Free Oz, which was what Firesign originally was. And then they did an overnight thing called Collage, which was basically what modern FM rock became. Or you listen to KPPC, which was the first underground, what we used to call underground. Today, it would be an FM rock station, basically. The first underground rock station, KPPC. So, yeah, in the summer of 1969, KHJ could arguably be called the top station in L.A. that played rock and roll, but a lot of kids had discovered FM rock by then, which was KPPC. And as much as I admire Quentin Tarantino, and I have no doubt I can dig the sensibility that he's... I know what he's talking about. You know, I know what he's saying in the movie. Because that movie is really about... If you want to really know what Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is about, it's about the lamest fucking people that existed in L.A. at that time. They were the lamest motherfuckers that existed. Even Manson, in his murderous way, was ultimately a lame ass. You know, in other words, there was nothing even remotely interesting about this guy. You had to be one fucking loser to think he was interesting, had anything to say, thought his fucking music was any good. And I've listened to Charles Manson's recordings. He's got a goddamn good voice. I'll tell you that right now. If you've never heard Charles Manson, you will go, wow, you know, the dude could sing, and he had some faintly melodic and pretty decent songs. Would I buy an album of his shit? No. But for a mass murderer, he was right up there. And I'm not being facetious. And I don't know why I'm not being facetious, but I don't think I'm being facetious. No, I'm not. So, yeah, you know, KHJ was the number one station. But by that point, only really kind of lame people listened to that station. It was all top 40. It was all high energy. The dudes, the disc jockeys wore the bell bottoms with the polka dot pants, and they looked kind of stupid. And everything that was happening at that point was more Woodstock and Santana and albumy and album rocky and, you know, and lots of weed and not really bubblegum. I would say that KHJ was morphing into a bubblegum station by that point. However, the soundtrack to the fucking movie, I cannot deny, is great. I listened to all that music. I think I still have all that music and somewhere in my, you know, on my phone, especially Paul Revere and the Raiders, who featured the studio musicians like Carol Kane. Carol Kane was a bass player. And if you listen to Paul Revere and the Raiders and you hear that bass line on those songs, that's Carol Kane. And that's some revolution. That's the beginnings of heavy metal. That band, Dave Clark Five, there are groups that, that kind of foresaw, presaged, is that the word? The metal, the heavy, compacted sound of metal. And then there was, I'm trying to think of top, what I would call top 40 groups that never really got any album play on FM radio. Paul Revere and the Raiders never got played on KPPC or any fucking station like that. Never, because they were too goofy looking. They appeared to be sort of bubblegummy and a little bit lame, but the music they played, take them out of the mix, and what you're listening to basically is Mark Lindsay's voice. I think they played some of their instruments with a whole lot of session players. And really good one, the best ones in town at the time. Now then, what else can I hold forth on? But by 69, when the Manson murders took place, when the murder of Sharon Tate and those individuals happened, I wasn't listening to KHJ or KRLA. I might have been listening to KRLA on Sunday nights, because they had Radio Free Oz. They had Peter Bergman was doing Radio Free Oz, really interesting shit. He'd bring in Native Americans, and they'd talk about, are hippies the reincarnation of dead Native Americans from the 19th century? And the natives are saying to him, no. You know, what are you talking about, man? I don't necessarily, because you're Native American doesn't mean you subscribe to reincarnation. But it was all really interesting. And then they played overnights when we used to jump out the window and get into a friend's car, and we go into Hollywood and drive around. That's when they had Collage on KRLA. That was a great overnight show. I don't know if anybody remembers that show, but it was great. The key word being great. So that was that. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm getting off of it right now. I don't know how I got on this bus, but driver, pull over. I'm getting off. Okay. Oh, shit, I forgot. God damn it. Did I do these picks already? Where is this fucking shit? I did. I know I did. Hi there. What? Me? Your show tied for the lead, week 7, Beto wants to award one of your fans with $100. Now then, I want to see where in Christ. Where do I know that cat? I see names of people I think I know. Now, I sent to her my picks of the week, you know, and let me just see. Week 6. I haven't done week 7. Yeah, I have. Here it is. Yeah, here they are. Is this week 7? No, it's motherfucking week 8. I ain't even done my fucking week 8 picks. God damn it! I had to do these with you guys. I had to get you guys. I should do them every Friday, you know, for the following week on the chat and just have you cats. All right, so let's check this out, man. I am going to go over here and look at my, as Bud says, Yahoo, the best sports app going. It's a really good sports app. I like Yahoo. All right, let me see. Is this Thursday? 24, fuck that. Seahawks, Falcons. Are we doing Thursday? Goddamn Falcons beat the... Did the Falcons beat the motherfucking... No, they didn't. They got their ass kicked by the Rams. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Eagles. I'm gonna pick the Eagles over the Bills. What do you think of that shit? Crazy, ain't it? I'm picking the Eagles over the Bills. I'm gonna pick. Oh, come on, man. Let's not do this. Chargers, Bears, Giants, Lions, Buccaneers, Titans, Broncos, Colts, Bengals, Rams, Saints, Cardinals, Jets, Jaguars. They're playing in Jacksonville. How the fuck did the Jets beat the Cowboys? How the fuck? How the fuck? Oh, I don't know. See the Raiders over the Texans. Yeah, there'll be a little bit of an upset special there. Raiders over Texans. Right on, right on. Then Raiders over Texans. Then I'm going to do. Oh, I don't know. Packers and Chiefs. Want to take the pack? My heart's with the pack. I'll take the Chiefs. They're at home. Green Bay by 4, and they're on the road. Yikes. No, I'm taking that. I'll take the Packers. Okay, two more. Dolphins, Steelers. Is that Monday night? No, we don't do Monday night. Should I do tomorrow night? Vikings at home against the Red Stains. What's the lock game, man? Seahawks, Falcons? Yeah. Lock, Seahawks, and Falcons. And then finally, Chargers, Bears. Bears at home. They're favored by 4. Do I want to pick another upset? Pick the Giants over the Lions on the road. Oh, no, fucking Lions are favored by 7. How's about the Buccaneers over Tennessee? Tampa Bay over Tennessee. Buccaneers over Titans. Hey, Samantha. Boom. Week 8. Bink. Then I gotta tweet that shit out. Okay, so welcome here, folks. What we're gonna do is let's get over to our website, Phil Hendry Show. No, bitch. Yeah, that's right, this one. All right, we're going to be looking for, on today's show, we're looking for the 24th of October, 2018. Let's go, man. Slow loading bullshit, okay. Let's check this out. I don't know why I love you, but I do. Channel 19's experiment making up news stories and seeing how many people catch falls flat, as Don Berman explains. Love it. Love it. I love it. You know, it's bitching. It's really great. You guys have probably heard me referencing a TED Talk here in the last, month. And I've opted out of that, and I'll tell you why. They're great people. Absolutely wonderful people. And the reason why I opted out is because as wonderful and as helpful and as terrific these particular TED Talks, because there's different TED Talks all over the country. This was going to be for Los Angeles in the Valley. The story that I have to tell is very, very personal, and it's not time to tell it yet. That's the best way I know how to put it. It's not time to tell it. You know, And I credit the people, Desiree and Mary Beth, for helping me find that story. And I realized how important it was, but it's not time to tell the story, so I but there's plenty of time. I believe I gave them plenty of time to replace me. And at least I hope I did. I really, and I was very mindful of that. I didn't want to just, you know, leave them in the lurch, but they're terrific people, and I wish I could say that I was ready to do it, but I'm not. But I will. Somewhere, somehow, someday, in some format. All right, so here's what we're doing. We're going to do August 2003 for our... August 2003 for a classic. August 2003. There's my mom's birthday, August 28th. She would have been 2003, 90. She would have been turning 90. But I don't think... Well, let me see. Groovy. Oh, shut up. Oh, shut up. All right, and now we go back to where we was, which is the... 24th of October last year. What are you doing, Henry? 24th of October. Are you out of your motherfucking mind? Dave Neener. Bitchin'. The 24th of October is tomorrow. Am I right? Or am I fucking flipping my lid? It's got to be. Yeah. Well, this one, I love this one. Dave Neener of K-Boy dresses in a Walking Dead outfit. What the fuck? Some fucking badass, stupid promotion. What are you doing? Don't fuck with me, man, okay? I've got enough goddamn surprises already with this shit. So, as you can see, we're going to go over to the 24th here from last year. And this is Margaret and Frank Gray and a whole bunch of these motherfuckers. Let me download this pre-show. Thank you. Let me down. No, we don't need to download the pre-show. We download the, do that show. Let's check it out, man. Look at that. There's a commercial from the old days.
This is the Arse Gardner Show with the number one prison psychologist of all time and now leading talk show host, Arse Gardner. Hello, I'm Arse Gardner, and I refuse to have my name legally changed.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, bitch. All right, bitch. Good Lord. Is that a fan on or something? All
right. Take a look and go, yeah.
Go and bruh.
This looks like it might be a good show.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the
Jim Chaplin.
The series was on. Last year, we got our ass kicked by who? Boston? Year before, it was fucking Houston. And now the series is Houston. Look at this. I'm watching the series. There's the Dodgers. Two series in a row. Just like the 70s. But we lost two in a row to the fucking goddamn bitch Yankees. Two in a row to the Yankees. Now we lose two in a row to Houston and Boston. Now we're not even in it. Same old Dodgers, man. You know, I say the same old Dodgers. Dodgers have given us a lot of thrills, but goddamn if those motherfuckers haven't lost the big game more often than not. The heartache and the heartbreak and the Jesus H cries. All right. The Arse Gardner.
Maybe it was someone I was talking to before the show, Phil. I don't know, but the name Jim Chaplin, what is...
It's right there. Hell of a goddamn pitch. This game is tied up 3-3. Bottom of the fifth. It's in Fenway. And I'm glued to the game. God, seemed like last year times were so much happier. We had the fun.
Made all records I produce. I might take all my exes and put them all in a group.
This is this time last year I was doing that scene in the Zach Galifianakis movie. October, yeah, 2018. Came in, yes,
6-7-8-9-10.
I did like a half a day. Came in, did the scene, and split.
Three, testing 1-2. Testing 1-2.
Really great people, man. Great. I hope that movie does well. I really do.
Testing 1-2.
She thought it was the ocean. It's just a boat. Now I gotta open. It's just a ghost.
What the fuck are you doing, man? Just go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Follow all the links and all the things and all the do, boo, boom, boom, boom. And you'll get there, man. Sooner or later, you'll get there. Nice, Phil.
And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil is back from his...
What was it? Your mental health...
Yes, my...
And a lot of other events, so please... Jim Chaplin.
Get my...
Jim Chaplin. Come on, motherfuckers. Let's go. Let's get this fucking thing on the road, huh? God damn it. Let's go. Goddamn fucking refreshing this motherfucker is terrible. What the hell's wrong with this fucking goddamn piece of shit? Oh, come on, man. OJ. Let's go, motherfucker.
I'm going to talk a little bit of...
Well, you could call it. Just go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Follow all the links and all the things and all the do, boo, boom, boom, boom. And you'll get there, man. Sooner or later, you'll get there. All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, and a one, two, three. Phil Henry here for, wait, is it? Wait, mate, wait, motherfucker. BetOnline.ag. Hey, it's Phil Henry here for BetOnline.ag. It's week 8. I got my picks. I'm going to be putting them up on Twitter here. Well, they should be up on Twitter already. I got my picks for week 8. Now, if I'm one of the top shows, if not the top show on podcast one in my NFL pick area there, if I like hit it and hit it big time, then guess what? If you are one of my listeners and you have a betonline.ag account, we will draw from that pool of listeners, you being one of them, and you could win yourself a $100 thing. What kind of a fucking thing is that, man? Oh my God, man. You know, guys, make this fucking easier. You know, it's... Phil Hendry here for betonline.ag, and I've made my picks for week 8. They should be up on my Twitter account, twitter.com/realphilhendry. And we'll put them up also on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/philhendry. And like that, you know, and I'll let you know where else. But betonline.ag is the place. It is the place for, you know what, I'm gonna just fucking stop doing this goddamn sponsor, man, if it doesn't get a little less motherfucking complicated. Excuse me.